have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We also are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. And hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5373, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, what do you possess? What do you possess? What do you possess? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're running around because you got to do what you got to do, but you still want to listen to the show, and you're wondering, how can I still listen? I got to go and drop my children off, male or female. I gotta drop my children off at the daycare center or at school because I don't want to stay here and take care of them. I gotta go to work. And I still want to listen to the show as it is happening. You can. You can podcast and listen on the phone by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your what? To donate and have your comments read out loud. My bad. What the? Go buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. My bad. I'm looking at all this stuff I got to remember. I'm black and slow, and I can't remember all this stuff. Like, don't forget to like the videos. My producer reminds me to say that. Remind y'all. Amazing. And he said that he's black and wise. Those are his words, not mine. Though he is wise. Amazing. And you know what else is wise? It's Thursday. See? Kim is Coney D.I. I wonder what happened to that guy. He was speaking in tongues on the radio. You know what else is wise? It's Thursday. And we take all calls, but every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
The sign outside the New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham reads, "A black vote for Trump is mental illness."
I am the daughter of two pastors.
You will emerge from that as an atheist.
President Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president.
The Pope is like, if you don't, they call him the Holy Father. Ain't nothing holy about the Pope.
God, why George God?
Holy mackerel. I can't believe you people follow a man. If you think that's bad, following someone else, make somebody else your God, your leader. There are people worshiping Mary. And she did. What the? Amazing. And they now they have another female saint to worship. Lord have mercy. If ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now. What a mess. A spiritual battle. So I was watching this old cowboy movie. And it was interesting. And cowboy movies used to be the thing. Mr. Dillon, so many others, I can't think, but Rawhide, and other. So I'm watching this, and I'm watching this movie, and what happened was, long story short, there was this man in this cowboy town that committed a crime. And when he committed the crime, he went on the run. And the sheriff and the head sheriff and the assistant sheriff went after him. They got a bunch of guys. They all went after this guy trying to catch him, the guy who committed the crime. And so the guy was on the run. He ran from corner to corner, from town to town, on the run. And the posse team did not give up. They kept going after him and going after him. They would not stop. And whenever he would slow down to rest or whatever, he would realize that the posse team was closing in on him, so he would take off. But then there came a time when he was like tired of running. He was tired of running. One day he just slowed down, got off his horse and stayed there. And he slowed down. Amazing, huh? And when he stopped running, the sheriff and the posse team caught up with him, and they got him. Because he was like, you know, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running. I'm just going to slow down. I'm going to stop. So he stopped, tied his horse to a tree, and he just stayed there because he was tired of running. And so the sheriff and the posse team caught him, and they captured him, and they took him back to town after all that time of running. And on the way back to town, with the rope tied around his hand, because they didn't have handcuffs then, so they would tie the criminal hands with ropes. And they would take his horse and put him on the horse and take him back into town to put him in jail, to go to trial, right? And so on the way back, he was like really afraid, the criminal was, because they had caught him. He was going back to town. and he didn't know what was going to happen. And he was afraid because he had committed the crime. He was guilty of the crime. So the riot was, it took a while to get back to town because he had been running from, you know, place to place, state to state, trying to get away. So on the way back, he was on the horse, hands tired, and he was afraid because he didn't know what was going to happen. He was afraid, right? So they finally get him back to town. And when he got back to town, being afraid but giving up, he discovered, to his surprise, that he had been pardoned. The governor had pardoned him. And he was like, what the? Because he didn't know the outcome. He didn't know what was going to happen, right? But he was pardoned. All of his crimes had been wiped away. And he was stunned when he found that out. Isn't that amazing? And I realized that, what, 2,000 years ago or so, give or take, some say longer, some say 2,000 years, all of your sins were pardoned. You were forgiven and not even remembered anymore. Your sins were pardoned. You were forgiven 2,000 years ago. And so my question is, are you an outlaw? Are you on the run? Are you an outlaw on the run because you don't know that your sins, your crimes have been pardoned? And you won't go back. You won't be tired of running and realize, you know what? I'm tired of running. I'm going to go back and see what happens. Are you still an outlaw? You have been pardoned, and you're no longer, you don't have to be an outlaw anymore, but you won't give up running. You're still on the run, thinking and believing and being told by other criminals that you are a criminal. And you won't go back and see what happened. Isn't that amazing? Are you an outlaw? Or have you allowed the sheriff to catch up with you so you can go back and discover that your crimes have been forgiven? You've been pardoned. You're free and don't know it. Amazing, huh? The cowboy story was amazing. I'm like, what? Nah. Most people are not tired of running. They won't give up. They see themselves as a criminal. But the governor does not see you as a criminal anymore. Other criminals do, because they are criminals and they are on the run too. Are you outlawing it, or are you?
I'm thinking about it. This is interesting.
Have you gone back and discovered that your crimes has been forgiven?
I'm running on that horse. No. Something to think about.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All of our crimes, every person on the planet, have been pardoned 2,000 years ago or so. But you're on the run. You're an outlaw. And you're listening to other criminals who are outlaws as well tell you that you're an outlaw, and you believe it. You're a sinner, they tell you. You're guilty, they tell you. And you believe it. not only do you believe it coming from other people, but you believe it in your own mind. You believe the sheriff and the posse team that you are a criminal in your own mind. Instead of believing the governor who told you. The governor said, you know what? All of your sins have been forgiven. And you're waiting to be pardoned, and you already have been. Amazing, huh? Why don't you wake up and see that? Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of being stressed and worried and afraid and feeling guilty, accused? Aren't you tired of being shy and embarrassed? Aren't you tired of suicidal thoughts? Aren't you tired of being a slut maker or a slut? Aren't you tired of thinking about what others are thinking about you? Aren't you tired? So if you truly are, why don't you give up? Just stop so you can see. Have a way to see. Let's say you don't know what's going to happen when you give up being you. When you give up being you, why don't you just see what's going to happen? You might discover that you have been pardoned. The governor, the president, wiped away all of your sins, all of your crime, and be free. Isn't that amazing? It's up to you. So many people on the run from thought to thought, from emotion to emotion, from person to person, from this relationship to that relationship, from this ownership to that ownership. Why don't you give up? It's up to you. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. And most religious people are insane by when they hear the word of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, they say. All in the name of Jesus, they say. Not knowing that those words are driving them insane. They think it's working. Even though it's not working, the name, they use that name. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus, they say. And Satan laugh at them. They're like, what the? They won't give up. They hold on to knowledge about Jesus, about God, about whatever. They don't know. They won't give it up. They won't let go and see what happens. Because what they're doing ain't working. They call on the name of Jesus night and day. And Jesus is like, I don't know you. What the? I never heard of you. I don't know you. You claim my name. You go down to the valley and you feed the poor. You go over yonder on the street corner and you call yourself trying to help somebody by preaching to them, not even seeing that preaching to them is not even helping, that preaching to them makes you the enemy of them. I'm their mother's mother. I want to help them. I want them to have the word. I want them to know Jesus. I know Jesus, so I want them to know Jesus. and you impose Jesus on your son or your daughter or your children, and you become the enemy. Now your children hate you and they hate the word of Jesus because you imposed on them you were evil. You were evil. And you call yourself a child of God, a friend, a mama, a daddy. You're the child enemy or your friend's enemy. You imposed Jesus on them. You play God. You think you know it, so you're going to impose it on somebody else. But I love them, and I just feel so bad for them, and I want them to know they need to calm down. They need to not be angry. And you're angry because they're not listening to you. You're mad because you're the enemy. You broke the law. You broke the law. The law said leave people alone. The law says let them find a way for themselves on their own. The law says leave them alone. The law says no one can take this journey with you. You must stand alone and go on this journey by yourself, male or female. But you broke the law. You get in the way of that. I wanted to tell them about Jesus, about God, about the Word. And you impose on them, and you become the enemy. You are a criminal. You're an outlaw. But you call it Jesus. You can't help someone spiritually. What's wrong with you? And even in the physical health, when you're in the light, you know when to give physically and when not to give. And spiritually, you know how not to get in the way. If you're truly walking in the light, you know not to get in the way of another person being tired and finally seeing for themselves, I am tired. I'm going back home and see what happens. You get in the way and stop them from going back home because now they're sick of you. You're the enemy, all in the name of Jesus. Why don't you give up? You read the Bible, and nothing wrong with the Bible, and nothing wrong with reading the Bible, but you hold on to the knowledge of it, and you say the Bible is an infallible word of God. You make the Bible God. And you don't even know there's only one God. Only one. Yes, there are some men in the Bible who are inspired by the word. They were inspired to write it down, but it ain't inflatable. It ain't God. And then you want to fight when someone disagrees with you that the Bible is not infallible. God is infallible, I guess. Well, no, I guess he is. Not the Bible. The Bible is a testament to God. It tells you where to look. What happens if you don't look there inside. But you won't do that. You read the Word. You study the Word. You remember the Word. And then you build an altar to the devil, saying that you're building it to God and to yourself. I saw a reporter reporting on Dolly Parton. Dolly, what's her name? Parton.
Yep, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. And this reporter is a Christian. And it happened to be a woman, but she's like a real into the Bible, Bible class, Bible study, Bible teaching Christian. And somebody in the report said, I guess in Tennessee, wherever Dolly was from, they want to name a little town after Dolly. Pardon, right? And this reporter, a female, she was like, oh, one of the reporters said that they're trying to name this town after Dolly Parton. And this Christian Bible Thumper reporter said, "Oh, that's so good. Oh, this is, I'm so glad for this. I'm so happy for her. I'm so glad." I'm like, look at that heifer getting a thrill and thinking that it's for Dolly. The thrill is for her. Dolly is dead. But she was getting a thrill pretending that she loved Dolly and that she was all happy they built it. They're going to name the town after Dolly. But it was all about her. She had the thrill and could care 2 cents about Dolly Parton. It's just that right now everybody loved Dolly. And so she got to jump on board and love Dolly too and get a thrill. Amazing, huh? Why don't you stop being an outlaw and go back and see that you've been forgiven? Your law, your crimes don't exist anymore except in your mind and in the minds of others, which doesn't even matter. They're just useless thoughts. Why don't you see that your thoughts are useless? Your psychological, emotional thoughts are useless. What's wrong with you? Why don't you even, when you get those psychological, emotional thoughts, fear, whatever, stress, worry, you want to kill your baby, the man's children, cut their throats and tie their ropes around their necks, according to reports, and kill them. Why don't you see that thought as a useless thought? You can even say, you know what, that's a useless thought. That's nonsense. So you can start just overcoming these things, the illusion. Why are you so lazy? You won't work on yourself. Because nobody else can help you spiritually but you. All I do is point you back to the source within that can and will help you. But you got to stop running. You got to stop and let the sheriff and the positive team catch up with you, meaning the spirit of truth, take you back home. And you will see the governor, the president, and in this case, the spiritual father would say, you know what? My child, my son, my daughter is coming back home. Let's celebrate. There are men and women who are doing this. They are working on themselves around the world. I talked to a young lady by the name of Sarah. There are many Sarahs I talked to yesterday in counseling. It was an amazing talk, counseling session. And Sarah, I know you're listening. Stay with it. Just stay, go back home and find out that you're no longer an outlaw. There's nothing, no reason to run anymore. You've been pardoned 2,000 years ago. Wipe all your tears away. Rejoice. The Father is waiting on you with open arms, and he has not and is not judging you. Give the world the finger and live your life. You can have perfect peace right here on earth if you stop being an outlaw, if you stop running. Just get off the horse and sit down and just wait. That's all you got to do. Why don't you do it and see it? Because what you're doing and what you have been doing ain't working. You're still lonely. You still cry at night. You still get angry. You're still jealous and envious. And gossip. And on an ego trip. I gotta take a break already. I hear the music. Cause I got a lot to learn and to go somewhere. I need to do my prayers. I need to. No, sounds nice. Back in a moment. My hands to pray. God will lead the way. Cause all shit smells worse in the summer. So free when I come through the gates. Hallelujah.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer, you know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces, like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Tony. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and His love. It's going to be amazing, man. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Quick announcement. One, oh Lord, not George. No hate again today. No hate report. But don't worry. The Anchor Baby is here. At 9 a.m., the American Anchor Baby. Amazing. So instead of 11 a.m., the American Anchor Baby is at 9 a.m. Pacific time, right after the show today. He could be bad. Don't worry, folks. And he know y'all praying for him, and he's grateful. He loved the prayers. The American Anchor Baby. And did you check out Bill yesterday on Punchy TV? Punchy, PUNCHIE.TV with Bill. Bill was on fire. And I was on the show for a minute and discussing this Meta situation where Meta is going to, according to report, look like they're going to be paying out billions of dollars because they have been, according to report, been blamed for parents not watching their own children, and now they're saying that Meta caused their children to become addicted to the, I guess, computer thing online and all that. They're blaming Meta instead of the parents. And I don't understand it, so I don't know if they're guilty or not, but I do know that parents are responsible for their children, and no one else is. Excuse me, I had a hiccup. No one is responsible for somebody else's children but you. You are responsible. You had the baby. If you ain't gonna raise the baby, don't have the baby. If you can't feed the baby, don't have the baby. If you don't have love to give the baby, don't have the baby. But, so I was on with Billy talking about that yesterday. Check it out. Billy, amazing. Every Wednesday he does a live episode. All right. I want to play one soundbite for you, and it's Bible Thumper. And I believe this person was on the run using the name of Jesus. I think I heard him calling Jesus' name. And the children of Satan tried to turn this person into a situation, into a George Floyd situation, but it didn't work. And you don't even hear them talking about this version at all anymore. So it may be their fault. And some of you may have heard about this. It's about a guy by the name of Deshaun Leaf. This is from Jesse Waters on X. Deshaun Leaf was killed. Oh, when Deshaun Leaf was killed by a Pennsylvania State troop. When Deshaun was killed by a Pennsylvania State trooper on August 4th, 2025, the left tried to make him their George Floyd. They're like praying every day for another George Floyd situation. But then the cops released the body cam footage and the people disappeared. Watch this from Jesse Waters X.
When Deshaun Leath was killed by a PA state trooper a few weeks ago, the left tried to make him their next George Floyd. They talked about his local leadership, community service, and a nonprofit focused on youth violence. Look at these headlines. Ysalanti advocate named as man killed by police. Michigan community leader shot and killed by PA state police. Sheriff's department outreach worker shot and killed. The left wanted to make Deshaun the new face of police brutality. But then cops released the body cam. Here's what happened. When Leith crashed his car on the side of the Ohio Turnpike, a state trooper approached him to make sure he was okay. That's when things took a turn. Watch.
The devil! Hey, hey, hey. The devil! You're a devil!
What's going on?
In the name of Jesus, watch out.
In the name of Jesus,
watch out. Watch out.
You're hurt.
You're going to get hurt. In the name of Jesus, stop.
Hey, this is for
a
hurt.
Community
this is
leader.
Don't touch me. You're going to die. Next time you tell me you're going to die.
Hey, you ain't going to die.
You ain't dead. That's Jesus. That's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
Get down on the ground.
The community leader. Amazing, huh? Why don't you be an individual and stop following the crowd? I noticed that everybody and they mama, if you're black, everybody and their mama are jumping on the bandwagon of Dolly Parton. Now everybody love Dolly. I was aware of Dolly Parton, but I went all into Dolly like that. She was a musician. What the? And so Leaf overpowered the trooper, then sent cops on a wild goose chase from Ohio to Pennsylvania.
Leaf was able to overpower the trooper, climbing on top of him and then knocking his body cam loose. Then Leith hopped in the cruiser, and then took state troopers on a wild goose chase all the way into Pennsylvania.
All in the name.
The name is start the car. Go.
In the name of Jesus, I don't even see no more work. In the name of Jesus, I say, heal me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I say, ain't nothing wrong with me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I say, stop me, Father. There ain't no next leg mentality. There ain't no next leg. There ain't no next leg.
God, it ain't she gonna come. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the name of
Jesus.
Thank you for the name of
Jesus. Moments after this, Leith violently resisted authorities again. That's when he was shot and killed. Turns out this wasn't Deshaun's first run-in with the law. Leith pleaded guilty to 9 home invasions across 2 cases that date back to 2012.
All their names.
Deshaun Leith was being propped up as the left's latest innocent victim of police brutality. And they almost got away with it if it wasn't for the body cam.
Amazing. All in the name. It's in the word. It's in the name. It's in the blood. He knew the word. And Satan had him on the run, according to the report. Why don't you go back to town or just sit under the tree and let the sheriff and the posse team catch you so you can see you've been pardoned? in the name, he called out in the name of Jesus while carrying on like that, according to report. And Jesus like, I don't even know you. You call my name, you feed the hunger. You're a community leader, and I don't even know you. You lay hands on the sick. You heal the ailing, the people who are sick. All in my name, but I don't even know you. What the? Why don't you become one? Why don't you be whole? What's wrong with you? Are you an outlaw, Hank?
In a manner of speaking.
What do you mean?
I feel like when I say in a manner of speaking, I don't want to get into what I mean.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. What the? I found out this morning here at the office we were teasing Hate because Hate is don't like ketchup, mustard, and marinade and none of that on his burgers and things. And then we found out today, he's like, I finally graduated a little bit. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, I now like lettuce, tomatoes, and
grilled onions.
And grilled onions. So beforehand, you didn't even want lettuce, tomatoes, and grilled onions, onion food at all?
Right. As a kid, until like probably high school, I only wanted the meat, the cheese, and the bun.
That's crazy. Your mother spoiled you.
I don't
you.
Feel like that's that crazy.
You don't?
A cheeseburger with nothing on it.
And it's not a cheeseburger.
Very easy.
Cheeseburger with nothing on it is not a cheeseburger.
I feel like it is. Although I was actually tough one time at one of my prior jobs. I worked up at Hollywood and Vine. And I was a stagehand crew guy. And the guy in charge of us got us all burgers from some place. And it had literally everything on it. Thousand Island pickles. No, I was hungry and tired. And I'm like, this is edible. And so I ate it.
See that?
I didn't enjoy it necessarily or even really allow myself to be disgusted. But I ate it.
See that?
Never again. I did choke down most of a burger, maybe all of it, that had ketchup on it. I'm like, why does this taste bad? Kind of bad. And then I'm like, oh, it has ketchup in it. Even though I had asked for it not to be.
Were you the baby of the family?
I was the baby of the family for several years.
And your mother didn't let you have your way. Spoiled you. I could see you as a little kid. I don't want no ketchup. I don't like onion. And your mother like, okay, you ought to have to eat.
I was allowed to get up and go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or cereal. Usually.
Derek is telling me right now that you like candy bacon.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Because he's like, the ketchup is the sweetness to the burger. And right. I'm like, well, there's plenty of sweets. The burger itself is pretty sweet, if it's done right. But I said, yeah, candied bacon. Mmm. I better stop talking, otherwise my mouth will start watering.
Yeah, right. Amazing. Sweet. What did you say, Nick?
Sweet and savory. Great combo.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was the point?
An outlaw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fittified.
Fittified. You're so fittified. Amazing. All right. Let me go to first-time caller out of D.C. Tori out of D.C. Tori, you are on the air.
Dory, yes. Hi.
Is it Tori?
It's Dory.
Oh, Dory. He put Tori. I'm like, what the? Dory.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
He misunderstood. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Well, you know, you gave me some faith earlier about becoming one, and just being whole, and I'm struggling with the fact that part of my family is converted to a strong arm religion, and our communication has just stopped. Our family is now broken, and our beliefs no longer align up, and I no longer have family to fall back on.
And you know, and how do you feel about that?
Devastated that religion can identify us rather than the posture of our heart, and even as family. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where when I call my uncle, I have to say a certain word before I even start talking, and I just stop calling. And, you know,
and your question for me is what?
What do I do? I'm left all alone. I keep getting angry at them. You know, I don't send horrible messages, but I send messages, you know, how dare you? Like, what are you thinking? Are you know, are you really taking this far to let a family member go, to not ever contact me again? It's been a year.
I don't want to be left alone. Most of my time catching my breath. Why are you so devastated that they don't want to play with you anymore?
Well, it's my family. Since mom died, dad, and my other older uncle, it's only a few of us left. And
but why are you so devastated that they don't want to play with you? What's wrong with you?
I don't have anyone to call when I need help. I don't have anyone to call when I need a spiritual direction.
So it's not about them. It's about you.
I guess is that what it sounds like?
But you just said you're devastated because you don't have anyone to call. You don't have anyone to ask about spiritual things. So it's all about you and not about them, right?
Well, no. I mean, it's family. But they don't answer.
But why are you so devastated that they don't want to be with you anymore? You said it's about
our beliefs misalign.
I'm sorry?
Our beliefs don't align.
And so what does that have to do with you, though?
I still would like a relationship with them.
But they're showing you that you never had a real relationship with them. It has been about you, and they were about themselves, and the relationship was always phony. It was fake.
Spent hours on the phone, hours talking about life and family. And
so what's wrong with you that you can't stand alone?
I never have. I never have.
You what?
I guess I never have stood alone. That's probably why.
And why are you grateful for this time to see that you never stood alone, and as a result, you've never been with God? You've been identifying with everything out there, people, places, and things, and you've never been with God. You made everything else your idol God except the true God. Why don't you happen to see that now? Because now you're all lonely, you're desperate, you're afraid, you're worried, because you made everything your God but God. Why'd you happen to see that? This is allowing you to see that. Why'd you happy about that instead of crying about that?
Didn't see it in that way. I mean, yeah, I didn't see it in that way.
Why not?
And, well, first they never told me. They've never even expressed that kind of side.
But why do you need them to tell you that? Why don't you see it for yourself?
Right.
No, that was a question.
Right. I have to ask myself that question.
This is perfect for you. You're finally alone, and you're feeling the pain of being alone. And rather than crying about feeling the pain, you should be happy to see it and take the pain and go through the pain so the pain can disappear. And you will be happy alone or in a crowd. But you won't allow that to happen because you're calling them up and harassing them. And they are sick of you. That's why they don't want to play with you. They don't like you. They never have liked you. And you're judging them, and now you're still on them, and you're worse than they are because you're judging them. They don't want to play with you.
That's the truth.
Your eyes are on others, and you don't see the evil in yourself. If they want to go into be a religion, wish them well, let them be in it. But it's not about them, it's about you.
Hey. Yep. Thank you, Jesse.
So be glad and go through the pain of being alone. And then you will see that the Father is with you, and you've never really been alone. You just didn't know it because you relied on people, places, and things. And people, places, and things will eventually fade away. Nothing on this earth lasts forever. So I recommend you take this and start working on yourself now.
I will.
And leave those people alone. Wish them well and leave them alone. And stop judging them. Because you're judging them, not because you love them. You're not even judging them because it's a family. You're judging them because your ego want it for yourself. You want them. You don't want the religion to have them. You want them for your ego gratification.
Day one.
I'm sorry?
This will be day one for me.
Right on.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Start working on yourself. Drop your anger. Forgive your mother. Forgive your father. And do the silent prayer so you can go through the pain, and the pain will disappear, and you will be free.
Yes, sir.
You have been pardoned. So stop. Stop being an outlaw.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Do the silent prayer, all right?
I will do. Enjoy this weekend coming ahead, everyone.
All right. Let me know how it goes.
I will. Cheers.
All right. I got to take a break. The hour went by. When I come back, straight to the calls. The hate news is coming. Not the fake news, but the hate news. And I'll be back in a moment. 2 more hours to go. Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee.
all kinds of mess going on in this here world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday, y'all. The 27th of August, Happy Men's History Month, AD 2026. And you can call in, but the lines are full right now. So call in, though, every so often, just in case a line opens up, and JLP will be right back to your calls in the second as well as third hours here coming up in the J.C. Lee Peterson Show Bible Thumper Thursday. Whether you're Bible thumping or not, you can call in. And you can super chat. We'll get to your super chats as well, y'all. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. Cash App. Bond JLP on Cash App. Etc. Etc. According to, this is hate news, not fake news. According to the Morning Brew, yesterday in the small town of Buñol, Spain. Pardon my butchering of the name, perhaps. Thousands of people gathered. The revelers attended the town's annual tomato-flinging food fight. Ugh. A tradition dating back to 1945 and attended by international tourists. Squash the tomatoes before you toss them is the rule. The event included 165 tons of tomatoes. So wasteful, huh? Terrible. What's wrong with Spain? The world's biggest food fight leaves behind an epic mess, but the citric acid contained in the tomatoes strewed everywhere. The cleanup leaves Buñol more sparkling than it was before. Right on, right on. Meta settled that children's mental health case for $18 billion. You heard JLP talking about it earlier after the bottom of the hour. The bottom of the hour being when the minute hand goes to the past the 30. At the 30 mark, 30 minute mark, that's when it's pointed to the bottom of the hour. I never knew that until I started working in radio. But everybody in radio talks like you're supposed to know it. I don't know how you're supposed to know it. Anyway, Meta agreed to pay as much as $18 billion to settle a federal lawsuit brought by California and other states. The accusers of using practices intentionally designed to keep children addicted to its platforms, addicted, so to speak, you know, to its platforms such as Instagram, maybe Facebook, maybe, if any children are on Facebook, maybe, and maybe WhatsApp, I don't know what else they own, and collecting data from children under the age of 13 without parental consent, as much as $18 billion means that Meta will pay the 47 states involved in the settlement. Wow, 47 states. $12.7 billion over the next 10 years. Meta will only pay the remaining $5.3 billion if its rivals TikTok and Google's YouTube also implement similar safeguards to the ones that Meta agreed to as part of its deal to resolve the lawsuit. And kick in a matching $5.3 billion of their own. That is Google and TikTok. Meta did not admit wrongdoing as part of the settlement. And so Facebook and Instagram changes that Meta agreed to make. Time limit. Users 13 to 17 will only get 2 hours per day for brain rot on its platforms. Oppression. Nanny state. Evil. Night mode. Teens will be blocked from using the apps between midnight and 6 a.m. Ridiculous. In school mode, there will be no push notifications for teen users during school hours of 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Terrible, huh? Meta will also hide likes and reactions from minors and posts on posts by default and block extreme makeup filters, quote unquote. Although adults will still be able to do that to themselves and their pets. What a mess. Fewer kids spending time on Instagram looking at reposted stuff at 3 a.m. could hurt Meta's business. Yes, ad business, right? Yesterday, the company said they expect to accrue a legal expense of approximately $10 billion in the third quarter of 2026 related to that agreement. So we'll see what happens. Terrible. Anyway, I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Hour two, Bible Thumper Thursday.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. And hi, y'all. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question, what do you possess? What do you possess? What do you possess? We have every way that you can watch and support the show. Listen on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, running around, and you would still like to listen as it is happening, you can park out, of course. But you can also listen on your phone while you're running around, doing whatever it is you're doing, by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. Buy me a coffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Thursday. And every Thursday, because we love the Bible Thumpers and they need a little bit more time to communicate, every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
And I got news for you. We're getting closer to his return. And the closer we get to him, the faster things are going to happen. The faster the healings, the faster the deliverance, the faster.
Fire. I'll feel your faith. Do you know that all of my life, and then my parents' life, the grandparents' life and their parents' life, people have been saying Jesus coming, and he's getting closer. Every generation say he's getting closer because they say, well, things are getting rough. Just what the Bible said happened is happening now. The Bible just telling you what happened because earth is not heaven and man is not God. But you think, hey, man, Jesus is coming back. And every generation has been waiting and saying Jesus is getting closer. And what they don't know, Jesus has already returned. He's already returned. And the people are still waiting. And then they get mad at the Jews that think that Jesus is coming. Or whatever they think. I don't know what the Jews think. I think they think Jesus is coming. Or that Christ wasn't the Messiah. And they think Jesus is coming. And so they're waiting. And then they're mad at the Jews because the Jews killed Jesus. The Jews are waiting for the Messiah, I'm told. And the Messiah has come, went back, and now he's back. The Messiah is back inside of you. And you waste a lifetime not knowing that because you're waiting. I keep waiting on the world to change. Keep on waiting, and the world is not going to change. But you can change. Your world can change inside of you. Every man, every woman, every male, every female, your world can change. if you want to overcome the world right now. It's up to you, but you got to stop being you. But you won't stop. Jesus has already returned. He told you, look within. The kingdom of heaven is in you. He said, it's done, dummy. He's like, it's done, dummies. It's finished. Death has been defeated. There is no death. Only the death of illusions of who you think you are. Only the death of illusions. He's already come. He even said, hey, it's finished. All of your sins have been wiped away. You are free. The jail cell door is open. Just walk out of it, of your mind. It's open. The guard of the jail cell has all been defeated. They ran away. They left the keys, and he opened the door so you could walk out. But you won't leave prison. I want you to hear this one thing, folks. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. Let me see. There's this one thing. There's so much. My producer put together an amazing package about Bible Thumper. But let me go down to Nick, I want to play clip 27-0. I want to know from you all, what do you think about the way this, I guess he's a pastor, where they say that he is a Christian apologist. This is from Grok. What do you think about this Christian apologist response to this question from Grok? Frank Turk, a Christian apologist, posted a video clip from a college Q&A posing the classic question on why pray if God already knows future events? This is such a good question. It's an amazing question. And I want to know, what do you all think about, how do you see his response to this question? It's from Grok. This is on X.
If God is all-knowing and already knows what's going to happen, how much weight does my prayer actually hold?
Does your prayer actually hold?
Yeah.
Well, God would know in advance whether you're going to pray or not. So if you hadn't have prayed, he'd have known that. And then your prayer wouldn't have existed, which means it would have no effect. So
I also have a second question.
Okay, go ahead.
Why am I praying for an outcome if he already knows what he's going to do?
Because knowing what's going to happen doesn't mean he's causing it to happen. In other words, just because you know something's going to happen doesn't mean you're causing it to happen. I know the sun's going to come up in the east tomorrow, but because I know that doesn't mean I'm causing it to come up in the east. If you pray, God knew before he created the universe you would pray for a certain thing. And he factored that into the outcome. If you chose not to pray, he'd have known that too. And he factored that into the outcome. See, God is outside of time. But because he's outside of time, that doesn't mean we don't have free will. We still have free will. He just knows what we're freely going to do.
What do you think about that response? Had you heard that before, Inca Baby?
No, I had not.
What do you think about that?
I've seen the Frank Turk before.
What do you think about the question and the response? You said what now?
Amazing question. I've seen Frank Turk before. He seems pretty smart, but I just wasn't very convinced by his answer. Personally, it didn't.
Hey,
the question was very
here?
Simple. The question was very simple.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what if I'm going to pray, what, like, how much is it doing anything if it's all predetermined, if it's all decided by God? And he didn't really answer that. I mean, he didn't really answer it.
My producer, Derek said, I actually agree. If it's God's will, he will answer the prayer. So Derek agreed with Frank Turd. You say you weren't convinced? You were not?
No. I mean, it seems like you have to make it fit by saying, okay, well, God already knew you were going to pray or not. And so just might as well pray, because it might be, that's what you were supposed to do, I guess. So make sure you pray so that you get all the blessings. It doesn't make sense. It's not very convincing.
What did you think of, did you hear, James, were you paying attention out there?
I was.
Did you hear, the question for Frank Turd? The apology, huh?
It sounded like it was Turek or something like that.
T-U-R.
No D.
Huh? What? Huh? T-U-R-E-K.
Whatever. Right.
Turk.
Fine.
What are you saying?
What I say?
What are you saying? No
I
D.
Said Turek to make sure that there is no confusion. But anyway.
About
that, because it sounded like you were saying, I'm not even going to repeat it.
I'm sorry? What? I'm lost right now.
It sounded like you were saying Frank Turd.
What?
Turd.
That is Turk.
Yes.
It sounded like I was saying what?
I'm not. I
can't hear you because you put your hand on your mouth.
Turd.
What?
Do you want me to mute the mics? You know, I'm when you
blushing.
Can't polish
sometimes? It's not good for me.
You know when you polish something, it's still the same thing?
He doesn't know that phrase.
You know when you polish a turd, it's still a turd?
Oh.
You can't say turd.
Oh, you thought I said Frank Turd. No, Turk.
People think that my last name is Hate.
Right.
Hate Report.
Because but anyway, it's Hake.
Pronunciations.
See that? But anyway, what did you think about the question and his response to the question?
I think the question is based on a false understanding, a false assumption about what prayer is, the purpose of it, and stuff.
Okay.
And I think that he leads right in and doesn't even correct that false assumption. Maybe he has a similar sort of false assumption, maybe, about what prayer is and what it's supposed to be, how you're supposed to, quote unquote, pray, and stuff. And it just came off, like Anchor Baby suggested, empty, unsatisfactory.
Amazing.
Intellectual, logical, lame-o stuff.
That was the most empty, no answer to such a nice question that I've ever heard before. His response was dumb, shallow, empty, and no answer. An intellectual answer, and he had no clue to what she meant. Both of you are right about that. He didn't understand the question at all, because he definitely didn't have the answer. I don't know. No wonder he's apologizing. He is an apologist. He's going around apologizing for being dumb, right?
Apologist, I don't get it, but it means argument. He argues for the faith.
For the faith?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with saying sorry, I'm apologizing. Apologizing in this sense means presenting your case for
but
the
he
faith.
Doesn't even know how to present the case. He's empty. He has knowledge and no understanding.
Even the Bible doesn't say stuff like this. I mean, it does have examples of people praying, oh, Lord, relent, in the Old Testament, you know? And God heard their prayers and relented, or whatever.
Nick, you are...
But in general, it said, we don't know what to pray for. And it said the things that you ask are in vain.
Yeah, all vanity.
And then it also said, whatever you ask, it will be done in my name. But what does that mean? So, stuff.
Amazing.
I don't think that you're supposed to ask,
ask
necessarily for things. I think prayer is kind of for you to be more connected to God, not for God to do stuff for you type stuff.
Amazing. I had never, Nick, you think you heard of Frank Turek before, right? I'd never heard of him.
Maybe God does stuff for you, in you, but not outside in the world. Frank, as a result of your prayer.
He wasn't able to help this lady at all. So you say you heard of Frank Turek, right?
I have. I've seen his videos on YouTube.
Yeah, I've never heard of him either.
You guys are on YouTube too much.
Just one day, just on the sidebar.
Wow.
But that was a long time ago.
I'm judging. I'm judging Nick based on his algorithm.
That was a long time ago.
What was I? Oh, yeah, I don't love Nick.
I know.
He's taking my spot.
Yeah. Nick is taking over the hate report and the hate news and everything. Hank is like, let me get up out of this bed and go back to this. With this bit of bat.
There was somebody shouting Jesus' name that I heard right here in this building. And I didn't tell Nick about it.
Oh, you did?
Or Derek.
Oh.
Yeah. It was an amazing event. And he kept tight-lipped.
I know, sure did.
You know, if God knows what you're going to do and you're supposed to pray because he knew you were going to pray about it, but you're not going to get it if you don't pray, so you're supposed to pray. So if he knows what you're not going to pray for and fail at and not get, why did he do? So he's like a pretty mean guy in that Christian's
version. That's what the Christians say about God. They think God is to blame for everything. They don't see him as love, total love. God give me pain because God want me to know something. God is not giving you pain, dummy. How can someone of all love give you pain? You're like that, so you think God is like that. You're like the devil. You are the devil, and you think God is like you. What the? I know what prayer can do. Prayer will see you through. Pray in the morning, pray at night. Y'all used to sing that at church?
No.
You didn't it?
Never that one.
How about you, Dave? I know what prayer can do.
I don't think I did.
Prayer will see you through.
That's too soulful.
Yeah.
I went to
a black church just a few times.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't feel your faith.
What about all the times people pray and they don't, like the countless times they pray and don't get what they pray for? Is that just me or...
Or they get it, and they think it's from God. Oh, God gave me some money. I needed to pay my bill. I didn't have no bill. I asked God for it. God gave, Lord, out of nowhere, God gave me some money to pay my bill on that day it was due. And they all know that's from Satan. What the? Let me go to Josh out of Georgia. Josh, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, I was calling to answer that biblical question, sir.
Josh sounds old on the phone, but he's young. He was at the meeting yesterday, Sunday. He got an old soul.
Yeah, I'm an illusion, man. I'm like white on the inside, too. I'm just like Derek. People are very confused about me, so I'm a whole illusion.
I know, they're like, what the? What do you possess?
If I don't know who I am completely, then I can't know what I possess. You know, it's like you were just saying, like I have a lot of, ultimately, I don't know who I am. You know, I have a lot of these fake personalities and ideas about myself. And it's all like it's an illusion, you know. It's like we never knew each other at all, and it may be my fault, you know.
It's like we never knew each other at all.
Right.
My fault.
Maybe. That's what that song is about. He's like, you know, he's going through a breakup, and he's realizing, like, this was all, what even am I, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we never knew each other at all, you know? And that's what happens when people die, you know? That's what happens when people betray you. You thought they were your friend, and that's good because you realize it, this whole world is a simulation.
Amazing.
And it's painful, though, so people, I run from it, you know?
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your response to the biblical question, and I'll put my little two cents on Sunday.
All right, man.
It was good seeing you at the meeting this past Sunday, Josh.
It was, man. It really was.
The fellowships are amazing.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully I get a load through there again. Anytime I get a load in near California, I'll be there, man.
Right on. Amazing. Thank you, Josh.
Okay, thank you, man.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye now. The fellowship, we have fellowship on Sunday morning, for those who don't know. And all are invited. Doors open at 10:30. The meeting starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/church. All right? Let me go to first-time call out of New York. Michael, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Michael.
I'm a first-time caller, and the reason I'm calling in is because, well, basically I am feuding with my parents right now because we differ on different, like, geopolitical issues.
Oh, okay. How old are you?
Yeah. I am just turned 18.
Okay, 18. Go ahead.
Sorry?
And your question is what?
My question is, what would you do in my situation?
Number one, from this day forward, I would never argue with them or try to prove anything to them at all, anything. Let them think and feel the way they want. That's what they want. That's their life. And you think and feel the way you want because it's your life. And you don't have a right, and they don't have a right, to argue with anyone about anything. So if you have a conversation, state what you see to be true. And if they disagree, don't argue. Don't get mad at them. Don't try to prove it. Just, okay. And you just be the light and let them do whatever they want.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yeah, you're not supposed to argue or try to ever convince anyone of anything, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you'll be free, and they'll be whoever they want to be and what they want to be. So just don't argue. Stop arguing. And that doesn't mean you don't speak up when you want to or have to, but don't get mad. Don't argue.
Yeah.
Have you forgiven your mother?
Yeah.
And you, when you went to her and forgave her, what did she say?
She said, well, basically she, I don't know how to explain it, but she was a bit oppositional to my forgiveness.
What did you say to her when you went and forgave her?
I said, we can agree to disagree. Like, just because we disagree on political stuff, we can still, like, you're my mom. Like, we can still have a good relationship.
Oh, that's not forgiving. That's appeasement.
Okay.
The way you forgive is when you realize you do get angry at her, you resent her for the way she treated you while she was raising you, how she tried to control you or spoil you, or turn you away from your father by, you know, not liking your father, and you became angry like her because you become like what you hate. And so all of your emotions, your thoughts and emotions or hers because you became like her. And when you can see for yourself that you do get angry or resentful with her and see that you're wrong for that because she couldn't help herself, her mother did it to her, you go to her and apologize for resenting her, being angry at her because you realize she couldn't help it, and God will forgive you. Don't ask her for forgiveness. Don't try to be friends with her or not be friends. Just forgive her. God will forgive you, and he will take away all of those thoughts and emotions that are hers and not yours. And so you have to face her and apologize for resenting her for what she's done. And God will clear your mind of all thoughts and emotions, and you will remember who you were before your mother traumatized you.
Thank you for the advice.
And then forgive your father for not protecting you from her. He married his mama. He's afraid of your mama because he never overcame his mother. Your father loved you. He just doesn't know how to deal with the hell in your mama.
Okay.
All right? But yeah. But face her shaking in your boots and stop arguing with anyone about anything.
Okay. I
wish you well, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome, buddy. 888-773-773. Super, super. I know, hey, you don't have to rush to get up. You don't want to break your back. Super chat.
Super chats.
Good morning. Over on X, the live stream yesterday during Bill's Punchy TV live stream.
Punchy.tv with Bill.
On the stream where Jesse Lee appeared, Catch Punchy TV, J. Reggie says, "You're awesome and smart." Who? And I don't know if he's referring to Bill.
Must be talking about Bill.
Jesse, to Nick, the anchor baby, who was also on Punchy TV. It was a party on Punchy TV.
Party over here.
Or all three. Or two out of the three. Or just one.
But thank you. Either way, I appreciate it. Because Bill is smart, for sure.
That's the fact.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mike Young. Hey, Jesse, I don't know if you're familiar with the now late former actor Tim Curry, who passed away at the age of 80. He was best known for his roles in the movies like Home Alone 2 in 1990 as the clown Pennywise. The movie It from 1990.
Yeah.
Clue, the movie. And, of course, the cult classic Rocky Horror Show.
Amazing. I did see that on local news that he had died. And so I watched to see if he looked familiar to me. I think I kind of... Was he the kid in the movie or the parent?
No. That's Macaulay Culkin was the kid.
Oh, okay.
Here's a picture that I can hold up, perhaps, for you guys.
Oh, yeah. See, he looked familiar.
He does look familiar. English actor.
Oh, okay.
To me, he looks familiar.
Yeah, he does.
I can't really place him.
Yeah, but maybe
I didn't watch Rocky Horror Show.
I heard that he... Right, me either. I heard that he expired at age 80.
Yeah.
May his soul rest in peace.
Gone
amazing.
Too soon.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Oh, there he is. Yeah, he definitely looked familiar.
Yeah. That's him a little bit older, but not...
Not 80.
80. Course. Oh, wow. Interesting. He is as it. Oh, that's him as like a sort of a snooty bad guy in the mid center right. I hardly recognize him without that thing, but okay, interesting. Oh, wow.
Amazing. Well, may his soul rest in peace. Thank you.
That was on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Robert 10 coffees. Hi, guys. Currently in Chiang Mai, northern Thailand. And we have Bible Thumpers at the hotel. They gather at the lobby every morning, sing and bellow. And we'll have to read the rest of this non-pithy super chat at a later date. But thank you for your generous 10 coffees, Robert, and the rest of the super chatters. We'll have to read the rest later.
Thank you, Robert. And have fun over there. Be careful. We will finish the super chats after the break. And your phone calls. Back in a moment.
I notice after a while that when these guys overcome their anger, they have amazing ideas about starting a business. But because they've been told that if you don't get a loan from the bank, or if you don't have a five-year plan, or if you don't do this, and it's just simply not true. It's the first step. With faith, then all things are possible. So, but the most important thing is to return to the Father. That yearning that you have, that emptiness, that void, is not for more stuff. It's not for more friends. It is a return to the Father. Because there's no way you can return to God and be angry at your earthly father. So thank you all so, so much, right? People around the world donated to Bond at rebuildingtheman.com, or they call 800-411-2663. And we're still committed to pointing the right way for men and women to return to the Father. Okay, welcome back, 888-77-JESSE. I do personal shout-outs, and they are amazing. And the people love the shout-outs. Really, I'm not just saying that. Shout-out, but it's really, really amazing. Birthdays, shout-outs, encouragement, congratulations, weddings, whatever the occasion is. Go to Cameo, cameo.com/JesseLeePeterson. cameo.com/JesseLeePeterson Cameo. And you will love for yourself or you for someone else. All right? The shout out. And tomorrow, if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise, brand new episode of the FallenState.tv. I had an interesting and fun discussion with Craig DeLuce. And he's a small business owner and the president of a school board there. He's here in California. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Are things getting better or worse?
I think more people than ever are waking up. We're also seeing on the other side a group of people who are determined to tear down the very systems that have made this country the best place in the world.
What's wrong with the blacks?
This victim mentality is not working. This W.E.B. Du Bois movement has got to end.
How would you rate the Great White Hope?
It's more the Great Orange Hope.
Amazing. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time, The Fallen State. And you can support The Fallen State right there on the YouTube channel and jesseleepeterson.locals.com by being a member there on The Fallen State. And I do appreciate it. Hey, let's finish the super chats. I want to go back to the caller. Super, super.
Nice.
We started one. We started one, but we had to go on break.
Yeah, Robert gave those 10 coffees about being in Chiang Mai, northern Thailand.
Amazing.
Bible thumpers at the hotel who gather in the lobby early every morning, sing and bellow, meaning shout. And other mostly Asian guests look a bit frightened and confused.
I mean, they're like, what the?
Then they pile into little white buses and head out to spread the capital W word. Lordy. They white.
The enemies of God. Amazing. What, is that where they had that tornado thing?
No.
Or you said no?
Right.
Before I even asked.
Yeah.
What am I asking?
You're asking about Nepal and maybe part of China, I heard. I saw this on American Anchor Baby and on the news.
Right.
In which a flash flood just, and you hear flash flood and you're not thinking some massive thing that topples buildings and buses on top of buildings and people.
Yeah.
And just buries people alive slash dead. And, yeah, crazy.
I saw it on the Anchor Baby. Anchor Baby, what caused that to happen? Did they?
It was unclear when I was reporting.
Oh,
it said
okay.
That they were still trying to figure that out.
Amazing.
It was devastating.
Yeah, horrible.
It was amazing. So be careful over there, even though it sounds like you're not in that same country or area.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Very nice, sir, over there, Robert. Thank you kindly. Very
thank
generous.
Thank you, Robert.
Charlie, you're not supposed to literally let Jesus take the wheel. What the?
Amazing. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
All in the name.
Stealing a police car after beating the cop.
And running and talking about, what is calling on Jesus' name, whatever he was saying.
And Taser didn't stop him.
What the? Amazing.
Half black.
I wonder if he was high.
I wonder the same.
I wonder. And they didn't say, I don't remember them saying, but he may have been on mushrooms. Oh, sorry, Brady. Out of Arizona.
Probably not mushrooms.
Not Brady. Amazing.
Half black, Tony. I'm the same way with my burgers, Hake. Plain with cheese.
Really?
Wow.
There are two of y'all?
I'll do lettuce, tomatoes, and grilled onions only.
But no ketchup or anything.
No ketchup, no mustard, no mayo, no relish, no Thousand Island, no pickles, no coleslaw, and stuff.
What's the purpose of a burger then? What the?
The meat, the cheese, the lettuce, tomatoes, and grilled onions, the bun.
Amazing. Thank you.
Half black Tony, I'm addicted to the JLP show.
Amazing. Well, don't blame me. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Charles, hey, Jesse, I saw your segment on the Callaway golf commercial yesterday in which the man, the golfer man,
checked
that gal who was grabbing his driver. He's like, hands off my driver.
He like, hands off my driver.
Which is to say a golf club. And if you notice, they had a black woman speaking for the taking down of the video. I am so sick of black women being at the forefront of evil. Why is she even involved in golf anyway? Asks Charles.
Black for tea. That's a really good question, too. Black for tea is a mess. Earth is not heaven, and male or female is not God. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone with a coffee. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Happy 40th birthday to my husband, Mario. Mario.
Shout out, Mario. Amazing.
Leo, thank you, someone.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Leo, Jesse, why don't you lay hands on Hake's beta back, or at least throw hands and beat the beta out of him so he can get back to his show? Asks Leo.
I don't know if he want a healing.
Right.
Amazing.
In his time.
That's right.
He makes all things beautiful in his time.
So thank you.
Luke, Jesse, after having a wait and see on the war in drugs from the 80s, was that a good thing or a bad thing? The war on drugs since the 80s.
It looked like drugs got worse. Now people are taking mushrooms. They went from weed, they went from ice, baby, to mushrooms. So the war was a waste of time. Lay your weapon down. Amazing. Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet, 222 gold pills on pilled.net.
Thank you, Pastor Chatelet.
/ Jesse Lee Peterson. Apologetics comes from the Greek apologia, which means to make a case or a defense of. It's basically giving answers for what you believe and explaining why you believe it, like when Jesse explains why he's white on the inside. LOL.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. So apologetic and not people apologizing for being wrong.
Right.
Oh, apologetic is a religious thing.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Not necessarily just religious, but yeah. Fazul, devil knows he's done. He just want to take us with him.
That's for sure. He's made a home in you, and he doesn't want to leave the house. Amazing. Thank you.
Jim in Alaska. Thank you, Jesse, for sharing these stories with us. They give me a wonderful visual of what's going on inside, so I can keep working on myself. I can't thank you enough.
Right on. Thank you for helping us to help others, but you stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. And you haven't seen anything yet. It gets better. Really. It gets clearer and clearer and clearer. Thank you.
Mexico Pau, Romans 7:20. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it.
Meaning the devil living in you, in your mind, in your body. He controls it. People think that, for some reason, they think the body is sinning. And they're like, well, my body, my flesh is weak, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's the Satan that's in the mind that bring all the emotions, so-called good or bad. And the emotion is what you think are you to. You believe they're not only thoughts, but emotion. And the emotion causes you to do what you do because you feel it and you think it's real. And we all think that until we see that it's not. And then you overcome. Amazing. Thank you, though. Appreciate it.
See you on Jesse Pookie. I feel like I'm just now learning about life as I get older. I'm learning about me and others. Is this world is of Satan's or God's? I just love you and some other guy. Respectful
well, she got
to
two lover and she ain't ashamed. Two lover, she love them both the same. Amazing.
This time it's some other pastor.
You got two pastors with her.
Respectful to OGs. I think that means older gentlemen, not necessarily original gangsters. conversation. I really like mature people coming on the Fallen State who don't necessarily agree with you, but very respectful and very good conversation. Hake, when you forgave your mother, what did she say? How did she react? I think she was like properly somber and serious.
She was. She was like this.
Jesse doing like a nodding thing, nodding along like a white woman nods along with her adult children.
I love Mary.
Being reassuring.
Shout out, Mary.
Gregatron, hey, Jesse, I have a Men's History Month hero I'd like to share today.
Thank you, by the way, Sion. Amazing. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with us.
Thank you, Sion.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Asks Gregatron.
I'm ready.
Jesse, have you heard of a gentleman who goes by the name of Donald John Trump? Some call him King. Some people call him Daddy. Some people call him Amazing. I call him the Great White Hope.
Amazing. Thank you. Man, history by Amazing. What an amazing choice, too. You can't get any better than Donald Trump. What the? Thank you.
Eric, five coffees. In response to the BQ.
What do you possess?
What do I possess? Perfect peace.
Okay, amazing. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate that.
Sleepy Neo. God listened to Amos' prayer in the OT, the Old Testament.
Amazing. Thank
Amos.
You.
Nice. Appreciate it. Thank you for your contribution, sir.
Bible Thump of Thursday.
And thank you, guys. I do believe I'm always often mistaken, but I think that's all for now.
Amen. Thank you. I do appreciate your support, folks, helping us to help others. Thank you. Let me go to Mitt out of Australia. Mitt, you are on the air. Hey, Mitt.
Hey, I told you about my clan, and I'm the lord of my clan. You know, every clan in Scotland is outlawed. Not everyone is part of the clan, but you talk about outlaws and that. Have you heard of Ned Kelly before?
Have you heard of Ned Kelly? Is this a man's history moment?
He was an outlaw. He's a bush ranger from Australia.
Oh.
And he wore his lead armor, and he took down, like, full counties, military counties, whole police stations, everything. And he would rob people he'd rob banks, he'd rob everything. And then eventually they caught him, and there was this big standoff, there was about five of them. One escaped from the back, and he rescued a few of his girls, and they lit his men on fire. It was hectic. That happened in Australia.
Was that, that real life or a movie? Oh,
no, that's real life, real life. Ned Kelly's a real guy.
You have some information on that.
Ned Kelly, 1854 to 1880. So he lived like 26 years.
He was in the old, yeah.
An Aus- 25 years. An Australian bush ranger, all one word, gang leader and police murderer. One of the last two bush rangers.
187.
One of the last bush rangers. Wow, I disclaim. I disavow even. He is known for wearing a homemade suit of bulletproof armor during his final shootout with the police. Ned Kelly was born and raised in rural Victoria, the third of eight children to Irish parents.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you for that man history moment. Amazing.
And hey, Jesse, I just wanted to say love from North Antarctica, love from Australia, love from Van Diemen's Land. My cats love listening to you. I'm going to be listening with you and Hake. I always listen every night. My cats love you. They get so excited when they hear your voice.
Right.
And, you know, thank you for inspiring the world. You're in your inspiration. Black power, white power, black power, white power. You should have 10,000 of viewers. You know what I mean? You know, I love you.
Thank
you. I got heaps of friends, psychedelic friends that love you. And, you know, I'll let you get on with the show. But I just want to say love from North Antarctica. Love from Van Diemen's Land. And love from Australia, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you, Mitt. I appreciate that. Stay with it. And thanks for the men history moment. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Let me go to David out of Wisconsin. David, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, I talked to you yesterday, and you said, call me back on Bible Thumper Thursday. So here I am, and I wanted to talk to you about anger.
Oh, okay. What do you want to say about it?
Well, I thought about it, and no, I do not have anger.
So you never get angry?
Yes, rarely, but I do. But that's not the same thing as having anger. I have love is what I have.
But if you have love, how can you have any anger at all?
Well, because, you know, and you probably know this, there's a difference in angers, which is rare, but there's a thing called righteous anger. For example, if this lady who killed her three children, if they would just let her walk with no justice, that should get you an emotional response of anger, because that's an abomination to the Lord, and he says that if you take someone's life and there's two or more witnesses, that you should be put to death. It's not about rehabilitation. It's about justice, and for someone to get away with a severe, wicked crime like that, it should give you an emotional response of anger. Now, that doesn't mean you have anger. In fact, I would say you have love. You have love.
Where did you get this idea about righteous anger? Where did that come from?
Okay, I'm glad you asked me that, because it's the Bible Thumper, you know. In the book of Mark, chapter 3, it talks about, it literally says this, it says, and when, you're talking about Jesus, and when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said up onto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So it literally says in the Word of God that Jesus looked around about them with anger, okay?
Where did you get this thing from about righteous anger? Nowhere in the Bible anger is called, that I'm aware of, in the Word, that anger is called righteousness or righteous anger. Where did you get that from?
Well, you're getting that from a description of Jesus's anger.
But Jesus never said he has righteous anger. Jesus said anyone who has anger is a murderer, and they are not to be trusted. They are evil. Where'd you get the words righteous anger from? Where'd you get that from?
Right. Well, Jesus says if you hate your brother, it's equivalent to murder. That's what he said.
He said anyone with anger is evil.
No, he didn't say that. You're taking words out of context. No.
He ain't going to pull up that scripture where it says that. Anyone who has anger is evil.
Right. Why are you
and do not trust in anger. But I want to know from you, and I hear that a lot from religious people, righteous anger. I have righteous anger. Where did you get that from, that anger is righteous or anger is called righteous? Where did that come from?
Okay. Okay, well, keeping with Fiber Thumper, I gave you the scripture.
But that,
and when
scripture,
he had looked around
that,
upon
that scripture didn't say anger was righteous.
Well, it says, it shows that Jesus got angry with people.
But you're not answering the question as to where did you get this idea that there is something called righteous anger? Where did you get that from? And that's what I want to know.
Okay, well, the Bible, which I told you yesterday.
Where in the Bible, where the Bible call anger righteous?
The Bible says you're not to even answer foolish questions.
Oh, so,
you're not supposed to tell anyone where
in the Bible that anger is called righteous? You're not supposed to say that?
It makes no difference. Those are just things you're saying. You know, you got to be careful.
What don't make a difference?
You could be considered a false teacher.
It doesn't make a difference that you're calling evil righteous?
I'm simply saying that Jesus exhibited anger. He didn't have anger. He had love. But it's an emotional response to somebody or something that's against God, like murder. If somebody can murder someone and it doesn't...
But David, what I'm trying to understand, do you understand that you're calling evil righteous by saying that anger is righteous? And nowhere did Christ or God ever say that anger was righteous, but you're calling it righteous.
I ask, is there
anywhere in the Bible where God or Christ said that anger is righteous?
That's a foolish question.
Why is that a foolish question? You said it. Is it foolish to ask the question, or is it foolish to make up a lie?
Well, you know, the Bible says that you're not supposed to even sit or stand.
David,
if it's scornful.
Is it foolish
you're scornful.
To make up a lie, or is it foolish to ask the question, where did that come from? You're calling evil righteous.
You have covert anger. Covert anger.
That's like the Chinese virus?
No. For example, when you tell people to go talk to their mothers, that's just a form of covert anger.
Oh,
in other words, if you have love, you suffer long. You wouldn't go to your mother and tell her things like that.
Oh, covert. So they should not go and forgive?
That's not forgiveness. That's vindictiveness. You disguise it as forgiveness, but it's actually vindictive, and it's cruel.
So are you saying that it's cruel to forgive your mother?
I'm saying that you teach cruelness.
So is it cruel to forgive your mother?
You teach cruelness.
David, is it cruel to forgive your mother?
You don't teach love.
David,
is
it cruel to forgive your mother? Because of time, is it cruel to forgive your mother?
Again, you twist things.
Give me a yes or no. Is it cruel to forgive your mama?
I won't answer foolish questions.
Is it cruel? Christ said to go before you can enter into the kingdom, you must go and forgive. Was he being cruel?
Jesse, I'll say a prayer for you tonight.
I say a little prayer for you. Forever and ever and ever, say a little prayer for you. Thank you, David. Don't pray for me. Your prayers are like righteous. I don't want your prayer. What's up? I'll be back in a moment. One more hour to go. Straight to the call. Hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back.
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job. Oh, you're on welfare. It can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America. From the poison of hate, blame, and victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
serious mess going on in this here world. Am I right or am I right? This is the end of hour two of Bible Thumper Thursday, y'all. 27th of August, AD 2026. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, is reporting the families of missing loved ones, quote, hoping for a miracle, unquote. Families are anxiously awaiting news of loved ones missing after deadly floodwaters. Horrible, muddy, brown walls of water just deluge, crazy. Wiped out villages, whole villages, along the Nepal-China border on Wednesday. You saw that on American Anchor, baby. You may have seen it on the news or on social media. The number of people listed as missing across both countries has climbed to 1,300, including at least 700 foreigners, dozens of whom are Americans. More than 270 people have been confirmed dead. The toll is expected to rise in the aftermath of disasters like this, and it is a disaster. It was awesome in the sense that nature has this powerful, awesome, but it was terrible too, evil type thing. Physical evil, you know, act of God type stuff. More than 270 people have been confirmed dead. Toll expected to rise. Aftermath of disasters like this, especially when communication networks are down in remote, hard to reach areas, it can take days for the full scale of the events to emerge. I would think months, because it was like thick. Anyway, some of those still unaccounted for may simply be unable to reach authorities or their relatives. We are so, so worried, but hoping for a miracle, said Asmita Dahal to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network. Her 21-year-old brother, a tour guide in the region, has not been heard from since the flooding struck. For many families like that gal's, who just was hoping for a miracle, the agonizing wait is growing more urgent as the window to find survivors begins to narrow. What a mess. What a terrible mess. AP says that those steep slopes and valleys below the Himalayan mountain range are especially, it's like a landlocked country. They're especially vulnerable to flooding and landslides. Glaciers are melting more rapidly because of human-caused climate change, so says far-left extremist, off-the-deep-end liberal, not necessarily to be trusted, but I'm not saying I'm right or wrong or they're right or wrong. Human-caused climate change. Nepalese officials said that dozens of bridges were destroyed, nearly 25 miles of road damaged, complicating search efforts. The Nepalese Army, Army has rescued more than 100 people from flood-affected areas through helicopter operations on Thursday morning, so said Army spokesman General Raja Ram Basnet. What a mess. And so they were searching Thursday, that's today, for hundreds of missing people along the Nepal-China border following that disaster, including foreigners and pilgrims, they call them. More than 1,300 missing. Catastrophic floods caused by a glacier collapse kill at least 273, with many more expected. Whoosh, rough. Anyway, Bill Gates is warning about AI, if you want to believe and listen to him. I know I do. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates argued Wednesday, according to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, that artificial intelligence is more dangerous than tech CEOs are willing to admit. Maybe he's just jealous. Anyway, AI will either be the greatest equalizer ever invented or the worst source of injustice, maybe both. That's what Gates wrote in Wednesday in a 6,000-word essay. I wonder where that appeared, which outlet he chose, calling for major limits on AI development. Gates isn't the first tech leader to raise concerns. His warning adds to growing worries. You worried that the actions of some AI models and potential job losses, even as AI companies and Wall Street press full speed ahead on the technology. You got to beat out China and whoever else, right? In his essay, Bill Gates proposed taxing AI and robots similar to human workers to slow job displacement. What a commie. He wants to reserve some work exclusively for human beings. I'm James Hake, JLP, Hour 3. We'll be right back.
have to stand up strong. Make the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Hi, y'all. Good morning. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, what do you possess? What do you possess? That's the biblical question. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about doing whatever it is you're doing, but you still want to listen to the show as it's happening, you can. By calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. You know what was happening? Hate sent me a text. And so I was trying to read the text and think of the biblical question. TalkStream Live. And the number, you see, you can't do no multitasking thing. What the? 605-615-4131. That's Talk Screen Live. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App, and I appreciate it. It is Thursday. It is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. God. Are you ready?
I don't
feel your face. Are you ready?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Be also ready. You know not the day when the Lord shall come. When the Lord shall come. Be also ready, be also ready, be also ready. You know that song, Nick?
No.
Oh, beta. Where you been, Anchor Baby?
Not in church.
That's for sure. So this is to David, who said that it's something about a fool or something. David, but I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Bible Thumper Thursday. That's for Matthew 5:2. That's for David. And then about the anger thing. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a, I can't see that. Go with, what's that, hey?
Go.
I can't see it on my
face. Nor go with a wrathful man.
Oh, okay. And from where is that from?
Proverbs 22, verse 24.
Make no friendship with a man anger. Given
with
to
a man
anger.
Given to anger. Nor go with a wrathful man.
Nor go with a wrathful man. That's from Proverbs 22, 24. Where is righteous anger? You got to be out of your mind to call anger righteous. Anger is evil. It's of the devil. There's no love in it. It only causes ego pain. And you call it righteous. There's a trend going around. I have not seen it. My producer told me about this morning in our meeting. Apparently, Generation Z is pretending God is real. So there's this new trend going around with Generation Z. They're pretending God is real. This is a new Generation Z trend has young atheists and agnostics pretending God is real for 30 days. For 30 days, they're pretending God is real. They're trying daily. They're trying daily Christian practices like prayer, Bible reading, and gratitude to see if it improves their lives. This first soundbite is from a guy who is early a part of the experiment from X.
Day 4 of pretending God is real. See if I can LARP my way into faith. For 30 days, I'm acting as if God is real to see if it changes my life, makes me happier, more fulfilled.
Absolutely beautiful.
Just got back from my run. All I could think about was, I can't believe I get to live here, dude. I live in West Coast, BC, Canada, and it's just so beautiful pretty much all year round here. The people are great. I'm just so grateful.
So I just read chapter 6 of Matthew, and in that Jesus is talking about, do not sound a trumpet, don't boast, don't pray in the streets, do not brag about your virtues. But that's kind of what I'm doing with this challenge. Not exactly. The only reason I'm posting it is for accountability and to share it with people.
Praying for patience today because we're leaving town for about a week to visit my grandparents, and it's a mad rush to get everything ready to go.
On our way out of town, we stopped for a mini picnic, and I bought my sister and I pizza. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.
Interesting. Amazing. Earth is not heaven. And here's another guy who finished the experiment, and he discovered God is real from X.
Day 1 of pretending if God is real.
Day 2 of 30 of pretending if God is real.
Day 3 of
day 4.
Day 5.
Day 6.
Day 7.
Day 8. Day 9.
10,
11 of 12, 13.
14, 16.
Okay, first, I gotta come clean. It's not actually day 20. It's day 20 of me filming. I've actually been doing this experiment for about 2 months. Today, you know, the retelling of the story catches up to present time. I'm a yoga instructor, right? I love yoga. In the beginning, for the first, I want to say, couple months, we're just going through the motions. Then I started to be like,
you know what? Let me lean into this practice. Let me really go in with an intention. Let me close my eyes. Let me really focus on my breath.
In that moment, I'm realizing it now, I had faith. That was faith. I took a leap of faith. And when I did that, the practice opened up for me.
But it never touched my soul.
I never went to a yoga class and wanted to be kinder to a stranger that I saw on the street. 4 years of yoga, even being a yoga teacher, never did that.
3 months of reading the Bible, I am now kinder to strangers. 8 years of struggling against nicotine quietly faded away. There was no, like, big epiphany. For the past 2 weeks, I've started getting nightmares that will wake me up in the middle of the night. I haven't had that in, like, 20 years. But dude, that fear was humbling. I'm not a very fearful person. I experienced the fear of God, and more importantly, I experienced fear of of being away from God. And I can't just pretend to need God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I'm done pretending.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Kabeba? That's my first time seeing it. Have you seen this before?
I had not.
And you're impressed. Have you heard about it?
No, I'd never seen this. Never heard about it.
And I'm surprised because you normally know about all this stuff with the American Anchor Baby Show. Amazing. What do you think, your first impression of it, both the guys and this idea, this experiment they're doing?
How do I put this? It's like it seemed like they got some relief of some way. It seems like they got their minds thinking about something better, so to speak, quote unquote. This person's like not doing nicotine or the other things. And in one way, I can see how people find relief in these things because it's like a training. You have to like focus on it, meditate, obsess maybe even, but it's like at least you're obsessing over working on yourself or something. And so I see it like that. Like I can see how a lot of people turn to it, find help in it. And then I hear about another way of living. What was that guy saying? The first guy was saying...
He has a gratitude for stuff and...
Yeah.
Stuff that he had not done before. Realized.
That's right. It was gratitude. Maybe I was listening to him.
He brought peace of her little sister.
That's right. I was listening to him and I'm like, okay, I think he probably did feel like a little peace that day or something. But then I think about how... I'm trying to find the words for this, but, you know, basically how... I hear you say that all these thoughts are lies, and then I stop seeing what he's doing as so, helpful. Like it's maybe somewhat helpful, but it starts seeming desperate when you realize you don't have to actually do all that.
Amazing. Interesting experiment. What y'all think about that? I want to know. That experiment, the Generation Z is pretending God is real. Amazing. Thank you, Jacob. Anything else?
It reminds me of a lot of people I know kind of first getting into God or whatever, even myself to some degree. When I first saw your videos, I'm like, let me read the Bible a little bit, but that didn't last. I don't know, it's just because I'm lazy or what, but I just could never be a Bible thumper. But and so it just reminds me of that. It reminds me of people first getting into stuff, and it has a little bit of mixture of both passion and like phoniness, and yet the possibility of, I don't know, growing. So yeah. I don't know.
Amazing. Derek is saying, my producer said, he just tests this to me. This trend is good. It's definitely a stepping stone toward God.
Can it also be a stepping stone towards, just phoniness?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't call it good. I would avoid calling it like, right? Just that's such a powerful word to throw around.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you, man. Thanks, Derek. Let me go to Dave. I don't know if this man or woman out of New Jersey. It just, let me go to first time caller out of New Jersey, Dean. Dean, you are on the air.
Hey Jesse, how are you?
All is well, Dean.
Good. We did speak before. You spoke actually with my wife the other day, Robin, and she sang for you, and it didn't go so well. She's pretty upset.
Oh, yeah, she was too far away from the phone.
Well, you asked if she was a man, and got her all upset, let's just say.
No, I thought it was you singing. And you're not the first time to call it in, huh? I thought it was you singing
called.
Because
she called.
She was far away from the phone.
Okay. Could you apologize if I put her on, Robin, because she's been steaming all night, and now I'm not getting sleep.
But I haven't done anything wrong. I thought it was you.
Jesse,
what's your
name? Called me a man the other day, so you owe me an apology.
I didn't call you a man. I thought it was him.
You don't know who I do and what I do and what I am, and you're casting judgment on me, which is not very religious.
What's your name?
My name's Robin.
Do you hear me saying that because it was far away from the phone, I thought it was Dean singing? I didn't even know it was a female voice at all.
Well, it was Robin, and I heard other callers call in, and then you were criticizing me to them.
How did I criticize you?
You said I had a bad voice, and you were laughing at me, and I'm classically trained.
I didn't say that at all. I said that I even when the caller called in, I said she was far away from the phone. It sounded like Dean because I couldn't really hear her. I never criticized you.
Well, I would like an apology because I was very upset by what you said.
Why should I apologize for something I didn't do?
You called me a man.
I did.
You don't know what I do and who I am.
Who did I think that you were?
You said that sounds like a man singing.
What man?
I don't know. You said it.
I just told you, Dean.
Don't gaslight me, Jesse.
Is Dean
your
husband?
You're gaslighting me now.
Is Dean your husband?
Yes.
Did I say I thought it was Dean?
You did not. You said, that sounds like a man. Ha, ha, ha.
And then I told Dean, it sounded like you. He said, no, that's my wife, but she's in the background there.
My name is Robin, first of all.
My name is Robin. You didn't hear all that?
I heard what you said to the other callers, and it wasn't very nice.
What did I say to the other caller?
You don't know who I am and what I do.
What did I say to the other caller?
You said my voice wasn't very good, and it sounded crazy, and all of this nonsense.
I never said that. You're lying.
I am not a liar.
How dare you? I never said that.
I heard the calls because I was listening after you hung up on me.
You heard the caller. You didn't hear me. You heard the caller, right?
I did hear you, Jesse. I know your voice. I enjoy your show. But, I mean, when you're going to talk that way about me, I'm going to take
umbrage. One more time. I never said that about you.
I don't think it was very nice, and I would just like an apology.
I said to the caller that was Dean's wife. It wasn't just that she sounded that way because she was far away from the phone. And I thought it was Dean singing, and because it didn't sound like a lady.
Why would Dean be singing the national anthem?
I appreciate your call, miss. I appreciate it. 888-77-5773. Let me go to David out of New York. David, you are on the air.
Jesse, top of the morning.
Good morning, David. Happy Men's History Month.
Happy Men's History Month. I wanted to attempt to answer your Bible question.
What do you possess?
See, there's many ways to answer this one, but many people usually say it's house and wealth or whatever you inherit from your father, right? But for most of the working people of the world, we have to put in hard work, man. We have to go out there, till the soil, wait until harvest time. What does Proverbs and Ecclesiastes say? A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So you see these possessions, right? We have to be careful about possessions, right? Because there's a difference between what you possess and what possesses you.
But the question is, what do you possess, David?
Yes, yes. So what do we possess, right?
What do you possess?
What do I possess?
Yes. The question is, what do you possess?
So me personally, right, I don't possess anything material in this world because I know it's a very loose thing. You can easily lose your house, your land, anything. You could get all taken away from you, just like the book of Job. So what do I personally possess? Nothing, quite frankly.
Oh, amazing. Well, I appreciate your response to the biblical question, and I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it.
All right. Stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. Amazing.
Thank you, David.
888-7753-773. Let me go to Jacob out of New Mexico. Jacob, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, thanks for taking my call again.
Yes, sir.
Hey, quick question. I guess it's a good theme for a Bible Thumper Thursday. I was watching some of your old content, and you had mentioned, you know, sometimes man put things in the Bible, or even the devil himself puts things in the Bible that kind of mislead us in our spiritual journey. And
yes,
I was wondering how, you know, what are some good signs to look for, or maybe what's a good version of the Bible to read to identify those things, and then, of course, to try to avoid those things so we don't, you know, stray away.
I recommend you read any book, but and especially the Bible. The Bible is an amazing book. It is good to read it, but read it consciously rather than reading it unconsciously so you can be aware of Satan interpreting the Bible for you. Because as you're reading, the thoughts, which are of the devil, are telling you what it means, and you would think that that's from God, or you think it's from the Holy Spirit. And so just be aware and put it away, and the Spirit of truth will reveal to you what you read.
All right. Thanks for the tip. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, buddy. Do you have a Bible now that you read?
Yeah, I think it's a New Living Translation. Newer one, I guess.
What's my Bible, Hank? I forgot my Bible. I read the New Jerusalem Bible.
New Jerusalem. All right. I'll take a look at that one, too.
All right. But are you doing the silent prayer?
You know, I've tried it a couple of times. It was funny. I set my timer for 6 minutes, you know, so I can kind of get in place. And I did it quicker than I thought. And then the 6 minutes went faster than I thought. So it was pretty nice. And, you know, kind of inconsistent, though. I've done it a few times. But I need to stay consistent.
How will you ever understand or know that what you're reading is right or the truth if you don't stay in the light?
Right.
No,
well,
that was a question.
That's what I'm starting to learn. I don't think you could. I think it's easy to misinterpret things.
And so why you're not committed to staying in the light?
Unfortunately, because I guess I love my sins still. I'm still so used to those habits.
Yeah. Have you gone and forgiven your mother and father?
Yeah, I did.
You went to your mother?
I do. Yeah.
What did you say to her?
Yeah. I said, Mom, I forgive you for being out of control. and I shouldn't have resented you. It's wrong for me to resent you, just like you said.
And how was her response?
She didn't like it, Jesse.
Yeah.
He didn't like it. But, you know, actually, we have I like to think we have a great relationship. We get along. We have tons of fun. You know, I was raised pretty well for the most part. I didn't have any wants in my life, right? Anything I needed, they gave, and my parents are great. But, you know, as all of us do, we all have that sinful nature, that sinful heart. So I think as I've been studying these kind of things and sharing it with them, that kind of surprises them. But it's nice. We all... Took it in jest, and everyone loved each other.
Did you forgive your father for not protecting you from her?
Yes.
And what did he say when you went to him?
You know, he laughed about it, too. He's like, yep, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't save you from her.
Amazing. Well, you stay with it, Jacob. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it.
All right. Thank you, and God bless you and all your listeners. Have a good one.
All right. You too, buddy. Thank you. 888-7753-773. Let me go to first-time caller out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And I think Hate is Nevada. One of those ways. He white. Alexis is a first-time caller. Alexis, you are on the air.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to call. I've been a longtime watcher, first-time caller, and just wanted to come on and say good morning, and I love watching you every day. And that Robin before, she should change her name to Karen. My goodness, she was arguing with you over being a man. And it's like, what is the purpose of that?
I know, she wouldn't even listen to her. I would tell her, I didn't say, I thought it was her husband singing. I didn't know it was her. She doesn't seem to hear that at all.
No. And the fact that the shows she can go back and watch, and she's like, well, you said this. And it's like, he has proof he didn't say it.
Right.
So I just thought it was funny. And, you know, I grew up with a black step-grandmother, and, you know, she instilled so much in me. And it was, like, honestly just the best childhood that I had. And, you know, it's just, you got to love people. You got to love everybody.
You had a black stepmother, you say?
Step-grandmother.
And are you white?
I am, yes.
How did you end up with a black step-grandmama?
My grandpa loved the ladies. Yes, so she would walk me to school every day. You know, I lived in a predominantly Asian community in California, and it was definitely some hard times, but she always explained to me that, you know, people are different, and this is what it is, and you just got to smile and nod. And that's what I've lived my motto with, smile and nod.
So have you dropped your anger?
I still get that little white ghetto-ness in there.
So you're like a ghetto white?
It can come out. Yep, it can come out. My husband is Hispanic, so I like to say I can get a little bit of that Latina flair in there.
So you have a black attitude because you were raised by a black grandmama?
I'll say that. Why not? Yeah.
Amazing. And so why don't you drop all your anger, Alexis? Why don't you drop your anger?
You know, I have been working on it. I will say that I have come a long way with my anger. I used to be like 0 to 2 in my millisecond. But now, you know, it's really like those big things that get me. You know, when things are not in my control, that's when my anger, you know, comes out. Like if somebody hits my car, or like the Nordstrom lady left the security tag on my dress. So now I got to go back.
And so why don't you drop it so nothing outside of you or inside of you can make you angry ever again, because you won't have it in you. Why don't you drop it completely?
Yeah, I will definitely work on that. I think it's a little bit of, I don't want to say comfort, but it's just a little bit of familiarity. Like, this is who I've been for the 42 years. But I will say I lost my dad at 39, and I completely changed. I lost 65 pounds. I started a new business.
What happened to your mama?
She's still around. She just lives in California, but I don't see her that often.
Why won't you forgive her so God can forgive you?
That's a great question. And I really, you know, I think I got to think about that. I think I got to dig into some deeper portions of my heart and figure out why.
Then you will have perfect peace in all situations, but you're not going to have it. And so if a driver on the road is driving crazy, it won't make you angry. And nothing or no one will make you angry if you don't have it inside of you. It's in you. And it's of the devil, Alexis.
So what would you suggest? How can I start to let go of the anger?
That you do have it, and that is wrong. It's not good. It's evil. And go and forgive your mother and forgive your father for not protecting you from her. God will forgive you and take it away from you completely, because it is the nature of evil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's definitely, I can definitely do some self-check-ins and regulate and try to let go of that anger.
Yeah. You can't do it of yourself, though. When you admit that you are evil, meaning angry, resentful, then that's the admission of your sin, right? Your heart is wicked. And when you forgive, go and forgive, realizing that your mother couldn't help herself. She was evil, too, because her mother did it to her. Then God will forgive you, and he will change your heart, I promise you, to perfect love. And you'll speak up, but you just won't be angry.
I love that. I'm definitely going to work on that and try to find the forgiveness and get rid of this evil.
Yeah, by forgiving. And do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer, all right?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you, Jesse. You have a beautiful day.
You too. Amazing. Trash off on pills.net. I'll be right back.
Super chat.
Super, super.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old.
And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man. Okay, welcome back, 888-77-JESSE, the Anchor Baby, the American Anchor Baby coming up at the top of this hour. No hate today. Hake just informed me that he is thinking he will be back on Monday for the Hate Report. He is thinking he'll be back on Monday. So the American Anchor Baby is coming up at the top of this hour, not at 11 today, but at 9. And then don't forget to like the videos, like, hit the like button, ring the bell, subscribe. And don't forget to support us. We have merch. Go to jesseleepeterson.com and check out the merch. The silver coin, celebrating 250 years of America, and all type of t-shirts and mugs and books and coffee, Punchy's coffee and everything. And so go to jesseleepeterson.shop, all right? And you can donate at, so you can get the merch at jesseleepeterson.shop or rebuildingtheman.com/stores. Or you can donate by going to jlptalk.com, jlptalk.com, or call 800-411-2663. And I'm reminding you because some people say, you know what, Jesse, I knew I should, but I didn't remember. And I appreciate that you are helping us. Let me go to Chris out of Kentucky. Chris, you are on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how are you?
All is well, Chris.
Hey, man, I just had a question. You know, I hear you say all the time that, you know, all fathers love their children.
Right.
I have a little bit of confusion there because
all right.
What if they haven't overcame their anger? How can they have any love at all?
They don't.
How do they love their children?
Because when I say that they love their children, I mean that just like the mother, they want to be with their children and they feel that emotional love, that false love, but it's emotional love, when their children are taken away from them or kept away from them by the mothers, and they are feeling that. That's not real love, but they do feel it. But the world lies on the father, say the father don't love the children, and they do. That's why they, quote-unquote, fight to get their children back, or they go to court to try to see their children, and because of that emotional love. But if they had real love, they would not fight for the children. They wouldn't cut the baby in half. They would just love God with all their heart, soul, and might, and have a way to see.
Well, I mean, if they had real love, I guess they would probably raise their children the correct way and wouldn't screw them up in the first place, right?
Right. If they had real love, they would not allow the mother to screw them up.
That's true. They would protect their children, as
right.
They're supposed to do.
Yeah, but they don't because they have the mother's love. They have their mother's nature and mindset, and they've been told that that's love, that emotional stuff. the men and women have been told that, and it's just not true.
So when you say all fathers love their children, you mean that they love them in the same way that a mother,
yeah,
quote unquote, loves their children?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have you forgiven your father?
No.
Why not?
I don't see him that often.
Why not?
Just conflict of schedule, I guess.
How old are you?
36.
Do you want to see him?
Yeah.
Why don't
I could see him.
Why don't you go see him then?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Why you hate your father?
That's a good question. Probably because my mother turned me against him.
So why are you still listening to her at 30-something, knowing that she turned you against him? And how will you ever have peace if you don't love your earthly father? How will you ever have peace with God?
That's a good question. I guess I won't unless I do something about it.
And you don't want peace with God?
No, I do.
If you wanted it, you would forgive your father and your mother.
That's true. I guess I have the life that I want, don't I?
You do. You have a miserable life because that's what you want. You have an emotional life. You have a worried life. You have a fearful life. You have a sad life. You have a suicidal thought life because that's what you want. Why do you want darkness over the light?
I couldn't answer that. I don't know, to be honest with you.
The way that I
was raised, I suppose. I don't know.
And you're right about that. It is the way you were raised, with hate and not love. But as an adult, it's your fault if you don't overcome the hate. You're responsible for your spiritual life, and no one else is.
No, I mean, I do see that I have anger, and I do see that it's wrong.
So why don't you go and forgive them?
Anything about it.
I'm sorry?
I just haven't done anything about it.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess I don't know. It's almost like I'm waiting until I feel like I need to. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
You already know you have it. What else you need to see?
That's a good point. I don't know.
No, that was a question.
I don't have these answers. If I did, then I guess I probably wouldn't be calling you.
So instead of holding on to anger and going forgiving, why don't you forgive so these answers can come to you?
That's probably what I should do.
What's wrong with you, man? Why are you holding on to hell all your life?
I guess because it's all I've ever known.
It is, but you used, at one time when you were a kid, before your mother traumatized you, you knew the truth. You knew God. You were one with him. But you forgot him. You forgot the truth when you became angry and you went into the darkness where your mother dwells.
Yeah, and you know, it's crazy. I can almost remember when that happened as well.
See there? God is trying to tell you something. You got to forgive, Chris.
I need to do something about it, yeah.
Be forgiven. So you would no longer be an outlaw.
Can I ask you another quick question?
Yeah.
Is it possible to forgive, you know, let's say a parent passes away. Is it still possible to forgive?
100%. And you do it by getting to know yourself. Like, you know now you have this anger. You know now that you have not forgiven. And you know now you can't help yourself but do the wrong things and think the wrong way and feel the wrong way. You can't help yourself. And knowing that about yourself would cause you to know that about your parents if they have expired. And you can't go to them if they have expired. But you will understand that if you feel this way and you can't help yourself, it will cause you to realize they cannot help or could not help themselves. And realizing that would cause you to forgive them.
Well, let me ask you another question, maybe a stupid question, but, you know, is it possible to just do that, even if your parents are still alive?
No.
Do you have to go and
physically forgive them?
If you can, if it's possible for you to go to them, absolutely. Now, if they don't want to talk to you or don't want to see you or anything like that, then you have no choice but to forgive them in the same way you would forgive them if they were inspired, die. But if you can visit them or face them, FaceTime or whatever, you should do it so you can shake in your boots and overcome fear. You will get your courage back.
Well, that makes sense. But I had called a while back and asked a similar, you know, question.
You called me?
But yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it, you know, so I guess I was worried that if I went and just said out loud, you know, hey, I forgive you, am I truly forgiving or am I just saying it? As opposed to, you know, looking within myself and realizing that I am, you know, I do have this anger that it's wrong and that I need to do something about it. I guess I was just worried that going and saying, hey, I forgive you, is just an empty word and it doesn't mean anything. And am I truly forgiving or am I just saying it?
Where are you getting those thoughts from?
My brain, I suppose.
Are you your thoughts?
No.
Why are you believing that then?
I guess because I don't know. I guess it's because it's all I've ever known, I suppose.
And you allow the devil to talk you out of your freedom. You allow evil to give you all these excuses why you should not go and forgive. Oh, you don't really mean it. You know, you need to do this. And he's keeping you in prison because he knows that if you went and forgave, truly forgave, by seeing that you're wrong for being angry, then you're going to be let out of prison, meaning that he no longer, and those demons have no more control over you, and they have to leave your body and go live in someone else, make a home in someone else. And they're talking you out of it, and you think it's you.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
What is a mess?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Once you go and forgive, stop being an outlaw so you can see that you have been pardoned 2,000 years ago. You were, all of your sins were forgiven. And now you're no longer, you don't need to be an outlaw any longer.
All right. Well, I guess I know what I need to do.
You do.
But hey, can I ask you another quick question really quick?
But don't let the devil talk you out of it, man.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Something you brought up earlier that, you know, so my entire life, you know, I've went to church, you know, I don't know how many different churches I've been to, and it was always the same. Like, I never really believed it. I thought it was all stupid. It never made sense. Not until I started listening to you did anything related to God actually make sense to me. But what you said earlier about, you know, every generation has thought, you know, oh, Jesus is coming back now. Oh, look how crazy the world is. Yeah. He's coming. Get ready. You better get ready.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what are people going to get ready for, you know, if that were true? But so you really believe that when Christ said it's done, that's what he meant? It's done. He's not coming back. He already came back.
Not only do I believe it, I know it to be true for sure. He's already returned. It's already done, and he's in us.
That actually makes a lot more sense than what I've always been told. Now, I don't want to say believe because I never believed it, but
yeah,
you know, if you listen to any theologian or, you know, Christian minister, whatever their title may be, you know, they'll argue back and forth over
saying forever Jesus is coming back. And Jesus already come, and they waiting on somebody to come, and he's already back. I'm like, what the? Every generation say that, too.
That actually makes more sense than what everybody else will tell you.
They lied to you, they lost. They're hypocrites and Pharisees.
Well, I appreciate all the help. I don't want to take up any more time.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
Not like I should be.
What a beta. Beta! You don't want the light. What's wrong with you, Chris?
Part of me does, and part of me doesn't, you know?
That's like the devil part that doesn't.
I got a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other.
So start listening to the angel from heaven and not the devil from hell.
Okay. Well, I appreciate all your help. I guess I've got some work I need to do.
You do. You got your work cut out for you, buddy. I wish you well. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Let me go to Israel. All the way over to Israel. I've been to Israel before. Beautiful. Heaven on earth. Elijah, a first-time caller out of Israel. Elijah, hey. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm pretty shaken here. First time on the air.
Amazing. Welcome to America.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell a story, a very nice story. I used to live in Manhattan, 89th Street. And once I was near Columbia University, 125th, was taking the bus across town. And there was this guy talking with a megaphone. He has a hat with the money for the money on the sidewalk near the bus stop. And he was talking about white. I'm a white guy, right? Jewish from Israel. So he was talking about white, you know, white did this, white did that. So I took my time and I said, listen, I give you $5, give me 5 minutes. And he said, for what? I said, for explaining something. He said, all right. So I put $5 and I told him that in my country, when my parents came to Israel, they were the black guys, you know, the guys from the Arab countries. And by the time that I grew up, we became equal because we were working hard. We didn't take this victim mentality. And we, you know, broke out of our ghettos. So he was listening. He said, okay, thank you. I went back to the bus stop. He kept on talking about the whites. So it was so funny that he didn't hear a thing, you know.
Yeah.
That I was trying to encourage him. Then even if you start low, you can always aim high and get there. And I came to the States, by the way, in 2000, right? The bug, the millennium bug.
Yeah.
I'm a programmer. And I, you know, I saw everything and I, you know, I like it. Lived there for 10 years. But I saw this black mentality is killing the black. I used to have a girlfriend from Harlem, 119th Street. And she was telling me all that stuff, you know. I mean, we were living like 10 blocks away, but it was two worlds.
Yeah.
The white one and the black one, yeah.
What a mess,
Yeah, I like what you're saying, you know. I'm religious myself. I'm not, you know, not with a kippah and all that, but I believe in God, and I've been to where Jesus is because in my family there are Christians, and we went to Nazareth, we went to the Galilee, Sea of Galilee.
Oh, you know, amazing, me too.
Yeah. Have you been to Jesus' grave over there in Jerusalem?
I have. Amazing.
Right.
Have you... How old are you now?
I'm pretty old.
Are you older than Jesus?
No, he's my brother. By the way, you see, I see on YouTube a lot of guys trying to, you know, debate all the Jews, the Orthodox, about telling things about Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, you know, we love Jesus. Jesus, we believe in God. Okay, so... It's hard for us to believe in Jesus, and you were talking about the Messiah with the guy, you know, the previous guy.
Yes.
And we believe that the Messiah once came. We have two Messiahs, you see, the one, the son of David, and one, the son of Jesus' father. What's his name?
Jesus' father, God?
No, but his real father, like the earthly father.
Joseph, right? The earthly father, Joseph.
Yes, so we have two messiahs, the son of Joseph and the son of David. The son of David hasn't come yet. The son of Joseph did. So you call him Jesus, it's okay with me because he was Jewish, he's my brother, and we love him too. But we still, you see, the thing is, we need to be good all the time in order to receive the Messiah and in order to go to heaven. So that's what keeps the Jews trying to be good to people, and trying to be nice to everyone.
Because of time, are you good?
Yeah, I'm trying my best, you know. Listen, I threw all my ego. The ego is the killer. The other guy had a lot of ego. Instead of going to his father and talking to him, he kept, you know, the ego keeps him out. I tried to throw all the ego, yeah.
So are you good?
I'm trying to be good. I don't know if I am.
And how are you trying to be good? What are you doing to try to be good?
You know, we have this saying, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. That's the thing. If I see someone, you know, need a lift, I give him. If my neighbor needs a help, I give. If you see someone in need, you go. And all that, you know, you keep your ego outside the thing.
But those things are never going to make you good.
Go ahead. Tell me what should I do?
You got to forgive your mother and your father.
Oh, I have. I mean, I love them, by the way.
Have you gone to them and forgiven them?
No, they died already, but...
Have you forgiven them?
Yeah, I go to the grave, yeah.
So you forgave your mother?
Everyone. My father, do I go and, you know, clean the grave and the stone and all that?
Have you forgiven her for turning you away from your father?
No, she didn't turn me. My father and my mother were good.
No such thing.
Oh, no, you know, all this small things, but they were good. They raised a nice family.
But doing things don't make you good.
So go ahead, tell me. Okay, I need to forgive. All right. even though I don't see for what, but anyway.
Forgiving will only make you good. Not what the physical things you do, but it's the spirit that can only be good, and that comes from God, and that can't happen until you truly forgive. He will forgive you and bring you back to Him.
Exactly. Exactly. We have that. You see, we have Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, people think if they go to the synagogue and pray to God and everything, and God said, first of all, you have to make peace with your neighbor and then come to me.
Yeah.
Right before that.
Amazing. Yep. Eli, amazing call. Thank you. Because of time, I got to run. Call me again.
All right.
I don't know. You say young people or young people?
Yom Kippur, you know, the Atonement Day. That we have to pray to God, yeah. When you fast and all that, yeah.
Thank you,
brother. Okay, now it's around 7 o'clock over here, so it's noon over there, right?
It's almost 9 a.m.
So you're in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Okay, thank you very much. It was nice talking to you.
You too. Call me again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So you heard Yom Kippur.
Well, I recognized it. I would have pronounced it Yom Kippur. But I sort of recognize, I picked up in context clues. Yom Kippur.
Right.
Day, it translates to Day of Atonement, and it's a Jewish holiday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Amazing. Super, super.
Super chat.
Super chat. Super chat.
Buffy W., new member on the J.C. Lee Peterson channel, YouTube.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Harmony Harms. I know we can find a way.
I know we can find a way
to make the dream team happen. Trump, Bibi, and Putin.
Amazing. The dream team. Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin. The dream team. Thank you.
Musical note emojis. Thank you, Harmony Harms. Twavy visuals, T. You ain't slick, Hake. We saw you getting a thrill out of being welcomed back, laughing crooked with tears. We did miss you, though.
Yeah. You think you might be back at work, your show on Monday?
Monday.
You might.
Yeah.
In the night, sure.
If it be the Lord's will.
And the creek don't rise.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, T-Wavy, Visuals T, ADHD 777, Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil.
I rest my case. Thank you. Amazing.
Also,
and there's no righteousness in anger. What the? Thank you.
ADHD 777 with another. James 1:20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
I rest my case. Even more so. I rest my case.
Facts.
Amazing.
KLS, most Christians and religious people in general are just acting and hoping that God exists.
Showcase personalities. Amazing. Thank
Facts.
You.
Cody, God dang. I feel bad for that man. I disclaim. I feel bad for that man who has to be married to and live with that woman. I'd like to ask him, how does he deal with the hell in his wife?
Amazing.
Cody B.
I was surprised he was angry. I never said anything bad about him.
I know. That's a classic case of being angry and mishearing and misremembering.
Poor David.
Yeah.
But don't hate David. Don't be mad at your wife.
Dean.
She can't help it.
Whatever it is.
What's her name?
I don't know. Today he called himself Dean, right?
Oh. Oh, yeah, Dean.
Cody
Amazing.
Says,
Thank you.
Hey, Jesse moved down to Chunchula, Alabama from Maine, April 25. Have to say I love these country blacks, respectful, funny, very outgoing. Gonna have to change it to what's wrong with the city blacks.
Amazing. Sweet home, Alabama. Thank you.
Mike Young, hey, Jesse, just found out from my coworker, now the late Peter Cullen. As you know, the voice of the narrator of the classic TV show Voltron, Saber Rider, and Star Sheriffs. And, of course, the famous and the voice of the only greatest Transformer of all time, Optimus Prime, has died at the age of 85. Rest in peace. Thank you so much for your brilliance. One of the greatest of TV shows of all time, known as the Transformers.
I talked about that earlier, Mike, and someone else super chatted. And, yes, may his soul rest in peace.
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, it's a different one? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Both from Mike Young. Mike Young is our...
That's a different one that died than what we talked about earlier?
Correct.
Oh, really? So yeah. The one we
this
talked about...
This guy was Transformers.
Oh.
This guy...
It sounded like that guy was doing... That actor was doing the same kind of work.
Peter Cullen, different from whoever else Mike Young said.
No, Mike...
I gotta keep on reading the Super Chats.
Mike... Super Chat. Thank you, Mike, but thank you.
Francisco, Dean is Robin, Finkel is Einhorn, Lace is out. Laughing face with tears coming out.
Amazing, thank you.
Pastor Chatelet is the root word in that passage. Jesus looked around in anger means indignation, not anger. Settle down, Satan.
Amazing. Thank you, Pastor.
Everblazer, hey Robin, I don't know who you are and how you do because I don't feel your faith.
I don't feel your faith.
And Nikki and the rest will have to read the rest of your Super Chats later, y'all.
Wow, we're totally out of time.
Yep.
Thank you all so much. I can't believe 3 hours gone by like that. Jason, a first-time call out of Arizona. Chris, out of Ohio. Fred, a first-time call out of New York. And the other call, I'm out of time by the American Anchor Babies coming now.
The views, information, thoughts, and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation. To my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/stores, and get Punchy's Coffee.
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them.
7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual